Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbisn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello, listeners. My name is Dr. Doran Rosenfeld, and I'm here talking about a very interesting subject which affects all of our lives pretty much all the time. Samantha Skyring, and isn't that how you pronounce your name, Samantha?
That's so perfect, Doran. Thank you.
Okay. She has wonderful accent because she comes from a different part of the world than we do. And she's gracious enough to be on the show tonight to talk about the specific salt that the company she works for makes. This is a new category of salt. It's not polluted. It's 175 miles from everybody. It's from an underground salt lake, which is renewed and sustained by three rivers that flow way below the ground. Because the area is so remote, Auric salt is naturally organic and contains essential minerals and trace elements balanced by nature. It's not been touched by humans. This is a rare phenomenon on this planet. And because of its nature, nothing is added. So we're going to talk about this company and this salt. And we have my guest, Samantha, who will say hello to you and start talking about this salt for us.
Ah, thank you, Doran. Hello, everybody. Good morning from Cape Town, South Africa. It is 5 a.m. It's a dawn is just cracking on the horizon, so I'm about 10 hours ahead of you. Doran and I were saying it's a bit of a strange concept, but yeah, very good morning to you all, and thank you for the introduction, Doran. Yeah, it really is exciting to be able to share with you around this desert salt, not sea salt, and it does come from this exceptionally beautiful part of southern Africa. So the Kalahari Desert is 1.5 times the size of Texas, to give you a sense of scale. And
wow.
They discovered a 5,000 hectare salt pan. So they were looking for a source of quantity, but happened to discover the source of quality because of this 55 million ton underground river that was discovered underneath the salt pan. And they obviously needed to do a lot of testing because, as Doran said, it's 175 miles from the closest town. And it was on a farm, and they had to build a road 7 miles. So just to get the equipment up there for that was a massive operation. And so they tested and discovered underground this 55 million ton salt lake, together with three streams that flow 100 and 300 feet underground. And the rock strata that they flow through has been tested at 280 to 300 million years old. So as these rivers flow through this ancient rock strata, picking up the vital minerals and trace elements, as all of the minerals and trace elements that we get from our vegetables actually comes from the soil. And together with the salt and the sodium chloride, and it converges on this lake and for me, it really is quite exceptional that it is a renewable, sustainable source, which is, for me, a really key and important value and needs to be for any product, you know, that we offer. And when we draw it up onto the salt pan, it really has not been, it hasn't come into contact with humans. And I really do find that quite exceptional now. We haven't got our dirty hands onto it. And then in the Kalahari, it reaches temperatures of 120 degrees Fahrenheit in summer. And so if you can just picture in this beautiful region where there's nothing, I mean, from the closest town, you drive 2.5 hours and there's absolutely nothing but sand, but it's in an incredible vastness and spaciousness, and there's this beautiful red sand. And and so we draw up this living brine salt water onto the pan, and for a month, you know, it just it lies there absorbing this beautiful hot Kalahari sun. It has a full lunar cycle. It's got the stars. It's got the desert wind. So for me, the salt is really very elemental, and it just it crystallizes in 4 weeks. It's quite unheard of actually in the salt industry, because sea salt generally is 13 to 20% brine, or rather saturation, and takes you much longer to build it up till it's 100%, and only then does it start crystallizing. And many places don't have the benefit of having 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And wow. So, you know, then it's harvested and collected, and we add nothing and we take nothing away. So it's just truly balanced by nature. It's and it actually has an exceptional taste. I wish I could all give you the taste test now, but I'll do it virtually. So when you have the opportunity, so we launched in Whole Foods last year nationally, so that's really exciting. Plus we have a web shop and we're on Amazon. So when you grab your Oryx Desert Salt, I usually ask people to do a bit of a tequila fist and grind it onto their hand and taste it. And then grind whatever else you have in your kitchen, your sea salt or your Himalayan salt, and taste the difference. I say it's like a fine wine. It's got a beautiful terroir. It's got a very full and gentle flavor. Whereas, for some reason, sea salt tends to be a bit bitter. And so that, you know, that taste enhances the flavor of your food. But the most important thing is that your body recognizes the salt. It's perfectly balanced. Sadly, table salt has become a normal, and I really put that in inverted commas, because it, in my next life, I've finished building and being able to offer the salt globally, I almost would love to take on the government. Table salt should not be allowed to be offered on shelf as a food product. It would be a little bit like me offering you balsamic vinegar with your beautiful medium rare steak or your beautiful crunchy vegetables, and saying, oh yeah, but it's made from grapes. You know, it's not wine. they're very different. And table salt is basically highly refined, industrialized, processed salt. In fact, it's really interesting, because it's so important to us. We are 70% saline solution, so we really need a quality salt. And that is for our digestion, it's for our neural pathways. And then PVC, we all know, is that like a type of plastic. C stands for chloride. So the salt is used in paint and plastic because it's a binding agent. So they make these monumental, vast quantities of industrialized processed salt, and of course it has to flow freely. So they dump a myriad of 20. There's one link I have. It's choose your poison, because ferrum phosphate and aluminium silicate and all the various other options that they put in to stop it from absorbing moisture, you know, your body doesn't recognize that. And in fact, it's making salts do, this is always a bit of a confusing one, it's making salt not do what it's supposed to do. Salt absorbed is hydroscopic. It is supposed to absorb moisture and hold your hydration. So by putting a chemical in the salt to stop it from absorbing moisture means that salt can't do its job, because that's what we need it for. It really is. Yeah, we forget the importance of salt. You know, it's just become something we add to our food, and we've almost forgotten how important water and salt. They are the essence of life. We need them in constant and in the purest forms that we can get.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So how did people discover that this salt was so different? This salt was organically what we need.
Salt's such a fascinating element and mineral. It's the only mineral that we eat. It is on every continent, because I believe that's how, you know, planet and nature and its absolute perfection, you know, our existence on this planet is, you know, this perfect miracle in a way. And so salt is on every continent because it's so essential for our survival. The Afrikaans community in South Africa is quite a small, tight community. And our supplier, Mr. Brown, was looking for, you know, a new source. And so he was offered, and then they went and did all of the testing. And I guess because it's so remote, because it's in this really beautiful place, and it's a fascinating area because it's a little bit like gold and platinum. South Africa is known for its gold, and there are places and regions and areas where it's gold rich, and there's another region where it's salt rich, where there are many salt pans. Our particular pan happens to be absolutely crystal white and beautiful. And then it's a bit of a phenomenon because it's in a low-lying area, and so there is this catchment, this underground salt lake.
Uh-huh.
And the salt just sort of leaches up through the earth and creates these salt pans. But now, you know, we've accessed the underground lake in order to to create this beautiful salt to offer to everyone.
And are people supposed to use as much as they use normal salt, like at the dinner table, just to throw on everything?
I think that's quite personal. I've had many people say that they didn't used to cook with salt, or they didn't used to crave salt, and once they've started using Oryx Desert Salt, that their bodies are asking for more. So I think we have different, you know, the more you exercise, you obviously need to, you need to take in more salt.
Right.
So, one of the things that we should all be doing every morning is putting a pinch of salt into our water and drinking that. And an alchemy that happens between the minerals and trace elements and the water that activate. And so you're getting an electrolyte, and the sodium helps you stay hydrated and helps the body actually all absorb the other minerals and trace elements as well. So I call it a guilt-free salt because we've unfortunately been indoctrinated that salt is bad for us. And there's a wonderful Dr. James DiNicolantonio, and he's written a book called The Salt Fix, Eating More Salt Could Save Your Life. And You know, in the olden days, we used to preserve and preserve our food with salt, you know, our meat product, fish, before we had fridges. And so our intake of salt was actually a lot higher than what it is currently. The problem is what we are eating, the foods we're choosing. If we have a lifestyle and a diet of buying a lot of supermarket products and ready meals, they will be using a cheap industrialized table salt to make the meals. So it's really understanding and being aware of the unrefined, unprocessed, mineral-rich salt that you're taking into your into your everyday eating. So when you do choose a salt, it is important that it is a real salt, that it has the minerals and trace elements, that it isn't refined and processed and hasn't been stripped of all of its minerals. And sadly, some of the table salt, because they want it pure white, sometimes it's bleached, goes through various processes with RX Desert Salt. Literally, the 2 to 4 millimeter crystals in the grinder are raw coarse off the salt pan that has then been put through a sieve, so that all the beautiful sparkly diamond-like crystal white crystals are all the same size for the grinder. And that's raw coarse. It's just been sieved. We haven't processed it in any way.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So does this come with any health warnings, this particular desert salt?
I wouldn't have said it comes. I mean, we all need to be what I was saying just now is, you know, if you're eating a very highly refined diet, you're getting a lot of sodium into your diet. It's more about replacing that refined processed salt with a good quality salt. Just put a pinch in your water. And for me, there's an experience. You can, you know, if you switch over, the body really recognizes a balanced salt and how much it is essential to the body. So there's your taste buds will start, you know, kind of, our bodies are so intelligent. I believe that, you know, your body will crave more if you're needing more. And yet if you're getting enough, then, you know, you'll feel satisfied.
Very interesting. So, sometimes people talk about eating salt and craving more water. Does that happen with this salt?
I believe that we are mostly, and I know it's a habit for myself, is that often I'm high, I'm feeling dehydrated, and so I go for food. And I start eating instead of hydrating. So I believe if you're, it's a really bad habit. So if you are eating the right, you know, if you, your body, we really do need water, and we can't drink too much water without having the salt, because actually, you know, drinking too much water can kill you too. I think it's 5 liters, which, what could that be in? America hasn't switched over to the metric system yet.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know how to convert, but that's a lot of water.
2 liters. So it would be 8 cups. So, you know, maybe 2 cups in the morning and, you know, a few cups during the day and 2 cups later afternoon and evening. So I think it's just an awareness that we need to have. Is often we are dehydrated and we needing to drink more water. I had a really interesting experience actually. So the reason it's called Oryx Desert Salt. So Oryx is this beautiful huge gazelles back that is endemic to southern Africa. There is a subspecies up in northern Africa. And I did a wonderful travel in Namibia, which is pretty much the Kalahari Desert. In fact, Namibia is one of the least populated countries in the world.
Oh.
And it's vastly desert. It's absolutely beautiful. And the Skeleton Coast is this very untouched hundreds or thousands of miles of desert that merges with the ocean. But it's very hard to reach because it's sand, it's desert. So we hadn't had an opportunity to visit what's called the Skeleton Coast, and the reason is because they are whale bones, and it's so remote. And mm-hmm. and so we ended up driving to the very northwest corner of Namibia, and we literally kind of got stuck in a sand dune. The road ended in a sand dune, so we walked the last 2 miles over to the Kunene River, which is the river that borders and separates Angola and Namibia. And suddenly we'd been in the desert for 3 months. So suddenly there's this beautiful 15 meters would be 30, maybe about 30 feet wide or 30 to 45 feet wide. And this beautiful clear crystal blue river with white beaches and palm trees, and we were in the desert, and it was like, wow, you know, we've arrived in paradise, and rock pools, and just absolutely exceptional. And so we decided to walk to the Skeleton Coast because now we had access to water. But because we had a beautiful big vehicle that was well kitted out, but for some reason we didn't have many bottles that we were traveling with because, you know, we were mostly with the vehicle. And so we had big containers and no smaller containers. So my partner and I only had 1 liter, so maybe a milk jug's worth of water. And so we would go and we'd camp next to the river. And in the morning, what we learned was to prehydrate. So we would drink 10 or 12 cups of tea in the morning, and then we would go up into the desert because the river's so windy that we would have ended up doing 150 miles. So we walked 75 miles to the Skeleton Coast and back
wow.
to the valley that we were where we were. It took us 7 days. And
wow.
in that time, I had close encounters with these beautiful oryx gazelle. They're this almost masked creature. And for real, they actually have a heart. This black heart on the top of their head between their horns. It's so exquisite and amazing. And
wow.
And I was within a few feet of them. And so some years later when I had the opportunity to create a logo and create a brand for this beautiful salt that I now wanted to offer, this oryx masked face and these tall, exquisite horns was the picture that came to mind.
Uh-huh.
So it is the symbol for Oryx Desert Salt. And what was remarkable as well is a couple of years later, I discovered from somebody who had lived in Namibia and oryx were on their farm and so they were very familiar with it. And they said that oryx can some oryx can live their whole lives or they can go many years without drinking water. But they can't go weeks without licking salt, the salt for the minerals and the trace elements, and allowing them to stay hydrated is absolutely essential for their survival in the harsh conditions of the Kalahari Desert. And then only a couple years later did I get the full picture and understanding of how this is possible, is their hair is hydroscopic. So it's these micro straws that absorb the desert dew and moisture at nighttime directly into their bodies. So they hydrate hypodermically, which I think is another beautiful phenomenon. And all succulents also swell, all vegetation in the desert swell with the dew and the moisture. So they get a lot of their hydration while they're eating. So it really, it fits quite perfectly.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so it was a beautiful experience.
This desert salt, is this available to the animals? I mean, are they down there in the lake, down near the lake where it's found?
There are pockets of salt everywhere, actually. As I mentioned, there's a region where there are vast salt pans greater than ours are, and so there are little pockets of salt dotted throughout, and apparently they go back to the same place. So I mean, this region is, in fact, the Kalahari Desert is 1.5 times the size of Texas, but the basin is 3 to 5 times that,
wow.
and there are pockets of salt pans right throughout the whole region.
Mm-hmm. And animals know about this.
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, farmers know that they buy in salt licks. So because we've sort of domesticated and we've cut off farms and national parks even, they need to bring in salt in order for the, and the animals, come to it naturally. It's something that they crave, which reminds me of, if we were really living very connected to nature and back to, and very embodied with ourselves in a more natural environment, we would really have an experience of having as much salt as our bodies need. It's just that the way we eat and our lifestyles and, life in general. I mean, I do eat a lot of pre-cooked meals. Most of them I choose as sort of home-cooked meals. And I'm sure that they're using Oryx Desert salt. But just because, life is so full and, moms and running businesses and working, it really is just convenient. And I haven't yet. One day I have the dream to go and spend 6 months or a year at a cookery school and just really have an experience of cooking really well. I've got a menu of meals that I love making, but I'm not very experimental, and I do things as quickly as possible. whatever's easy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we all do that at times. Yeah.
Indeed. Doreen, you say again?
No, I was going to say, when was this lake discovered?
Well, it was on a private, it is still on a private farm, so it's been there for centuries and centuries, and the farm was, obviously passed on to the sons, and but it was just there. It was just this region of the farm that was a salt pan, and didn't really have any commercial value, or had been thought to commercialize it. It was only when in the community that it became aware. So Mr. Brown is the largest salt supplier in Southern Africa, and he owns many salt pans, or his company does. Unfortunately, he passed during COVID, and the salt pan is now run by his son Stephen, who's the beautiful keeper of the salt pan, and it's not an easy thing because of the weather changes, and obviously if they have a flash storm, unexpected storm, salt dissolves in water. So if they've harvested hundreds or thousands of pounds of salt and there's a flash storm, that salt just dissolves and melts back into the earth. And so they have salt pans next to the ocean and in various parts of the country. And so they were offered, you know, to if it was commercially viable, which it was. They were needing to have more supply as their business grew. And we now fortunately have this beautiful supply relationship where we have this sort of gourmet, you know, highest quality salt from the salt pan, and offering it to the world. And I mean, Whole Foods is really been a dream of mine. I started packing grinders on my dining room table 12 years ago. And actually, and sort of an interesting story in a way. I ran away from another country with a potential kidnapping charge on my head because I needed to get out of a very unhealthy relationship. I came back to South Africa and started the business from scratch. So it's a business born out of adversity, which is often a blessing. You know, if I was in a supportive marriage, I would never have had the drive or the necessity to have created Oryx Desert Salt, and you wouldn't have had the opportunity to buy it and to eat it and to have it for your health. Really, you know, and I love retrospect. There's so many crises in our life that are often in retrospect are blessings, you know, when one door closes and so we, you know, we find ourselves needing to change direction. And so, you know, some years into building the business in South Africa, I learned about Whole Foods, and it really, for me, is a bit of a holy grail of a supermarket. In the whole process of getting listed and seeing what products, what chemicals and additives are on the not allowed list, I mean, it is so extensive. And I feel that, you know, you can walk into Whole Foods and choose a shampoo or a deodorant or, you know, a moisturizer and know that it's been vetted. They've checked its ingredients, and it feels like it's a safe space to you know, purchase products that don't contain toxins, which, you know, like table salt, it shouldn't be, you know, use it for industry, but, you know, don't put it on a shelf and call it salt that we're supposed to put into our food, because it really isn't. It's not food grade. We've got a franchise sort of chemist here called Dis-Chem, and we had a lot of backwards and forwards when we got listed, because they were like, yeah, but it's not pure salt. It's not 99.9% sodium chloride. And I'm like, guys, you've really got the wrong picture. Salt is not supposed to be 99.9% sodium chloride. It is supposed of the minerals and the trace elements. And, you know, it's quite intriguing, really, and curious, because it's only 2.5 or 3% of minerals and trace elements, but it's the perfect balance of the sodium chloride and the minerals that make up this alchemical mineral that we need. You know, if you were to go for a cycle or a jog on a hot summer's day and you wear a black T-shirt, you know, you have that ring around underneath your arms or your lower back. And those are the minerals and trace elements and the sodium that has leached out of, you know, through hydration, through sweating. And that is what needs to be replaced. So from your perspective, Doran, salt, I mean, was it something that you had considered or looked into much, you know, before our paths crossed? I think, thank you, LinkedIn. It's such an awesome platform.
I thought I would be really good using sea salt for everything now. You know, but apparently I can do a lot better than sea salt. I mean, I don't use much salt, but...
Okay. What you do use has been sea salt. Mm.
Yeah, I don't sweat that much. I mean, my body retains pretty much all its moisture. Doesn't want to give any of it up. So I sweat a little bit, but I keep everything inside. Okay. I'm scared to let anybody else have any of it.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously the oceans have been our source for, you know, thousands of years. But sadly, you know, we've really done a lot of damage. And there are tests now that have tested that 90% of sea salts contain microbead plastic in them. Really scary. And besides the plastic, the cruise liners alone dump 1 billion tons of effluent into the oceans annually. And that's just one source of effluent that, you know, is flowing into the, from the rivers into the oceans. And then, of course, you know, over the last 50 years, there's so many people who are on prescription drugs, on contraceptives, antibiotics, and a lot of that we end up peeing out, and it goes, you know, it gets back into the water source and back into the rivers and back into the oceans. So I've really become a salt snob. No thank you. I really don't want sea salt with all of the everything else that it might have, and it might only be very microscopic and possibly even energetic, you know, because, you know, all salt has moisture. And I'm not sure if you know of Dr. Masaru Emoto's work. Have you heard of him? No.
Oh.
An amazing Japanese scientist. And so he did an experiment with water where he would put water into different vials, and some of them he would put a sticker on, and some of them he would put positive words, hope and joy and gratitude and love. And then on some other ones, he would put jealous and angry and envy and negative words.
Huh.
And then he would freeze them. He would take a drop and he would freeze it, and then he would photograph it. And it is quite incredible to see what water looks like that's had a positive emotion put into it, and what water looks like with a negative emotion. And all of the positive words look like snowflakes. They're these perfect, magnificent, symmetrical, crystalline structures. Each one is absolutely beautiful in its, you know, in its own way. And yet the negative words, I guess, might look like a cancer cell. It's got no shape, no form. It's, you know, it looks dead. And so,
that's,
you know,
what's very
interesting. So what he says is, you know, because we are 60-70% water, our thoughts are affecting our body, you know, literally on a structural level. We say to ourselves, what we are thinking, is affecting what our internal structure is like. And it can either be these magnificent crystalline structures with thanks and love and good thoughts and gratitude, or if we're speaking badly to ourselves or speaking badly about, you know, or judging, it actually changes the structure of your cells and the water within your body. So water has got memory. So I love the idea of Oryx desert salt from the desert having memory of ancient earth and desert wind and the stars and the cosmos and the hot African sun, and, you know, being elemental, rather than the ocean water, which has now got memory of all the things that we've dumped into it. You know, I mean, there's industrial chemical toxic dumping in the rivers and the oceans. And so, from an energetic perspective, I really believe Oryx is incredibly pure and I feel very subconsciously on a subtle level, our bodies respond and recognize that. And then Himalayan salt, which, you know, Himalayan has been like, thank you, Himalayan salt, for creating a global awareness of mineral rich,
yeah.
Because of its beautiful pink color, which means it's rich in iron. I believe the pink color was very instrumental in creating the awareness, because now suddenly there's salt that's pink, and of course us ladies, we do love pink things, and it's this beautiful soft pink, and oh wow, look at that, that's so pretty, must have that salt. And you know, and it really, pre-internet times, Himalayan salt went global, and you know, is in every country, and it's such a familiar product to us now. But it is an ancient solidified ocean, so it's also a 280-million-year-old ocean, and now it's being dynamited out because of the demand of, you know,
yeah.
on having the salt available. So because it's a solidified ocean, it's not a renewable resource. So at some point, and it might be 150 years, it might be 300 years, but at some point we would have, you know, we would have dynamited it all up, and it won't be replenished. And sadly, because there are so many communities who, you know, it's actually not in the Himalayas. It's about, 125 miles, I think, from the Himalayas. It's in Pakistan. But Pakistani salt doesn't have the same beautiful exotic ringtone as Himalayan salt. and there are, you know, it's also a developing country, so there are poor communities there. And so they would see that there was this community, you know, going in and taking out this product. And so I know some years ago there were 350 different suppliers of Himalayan salt. And I think what happened is that they would go, oh, I wonder what they're supplying the salt at, what price they're selling it at, or let's undercut them, you know, let's sell it for cheaper, we'll get more business.
Yeah.
And so they kept undercutting each other. And so now this beautiful mineral-rich salt, this ancient salt, has been devalued. I mean, it should be worth 10 times more than what it is. And now apparently some of the communities are getting paid $10 per ton of salt. Now,
wow.
Can you imagine the work in order to have to, like, chop up and dynamite and carry and push a ton of salt from a mountain and get it, you know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. So the communities aren't getting, you know, it's a bit of slave labor now, which, you know, for me means it's lost its integrity.
Wow.
Yeah. But it had a really important place in, you know, in, I don't know, evolution, in consciousness, in switching us off table salt. So many millions of us off table salt, onto a mineral rich salt, and just creating awareness of salt. And in fact, almost, initiating and launching gourmet salt, and the gourmet salt category, and creating an awareness of their beautiful salts from all over. You know, there's Hawaiian salt and there's Iranian blue. And in fact, there's a very beautiful chef that I work with in South Africa. His name's Craig Cormack, and he's the salt chef. And currently he has 197 different salts in his collection, and I've recently been offered a few more from a beautiful health researcher who went traveling to Sicily and all around to come collect some more more brands and more sources of salt to add to his collection, because it's so, you know, each one of them has its own unique quality, and obviously have slightly different tastes and so on. And Oryx really does have a very special flavor.
Very interesting. Yeah, because, I don't know, when I was a kid, I mean, I'm, you know, almost 60 years old. When I was a kid, it was just salt. That's all there was, just regular table salt.
Yeah. I know. I think for most of us.
You see salt, but I certainly never heard of it. I never heard of it at all till, you know, I was in my 30s or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. We were all mostly brought up on table salt. So in fact, this particular health researcher, Sue Fisser, believes that a lot of the diseases are caused by not having a balanced mineral-rich salt in our diets. and then, of course, Dr. James DeNicolantonio, you know, he's in fact, a cardiac researcher. And so he was putting, you know, his patients onto a low salt diet because, you know, they were taught
in
medical school that salt is bad for you and sodium is bad for you. And it's so interesting that sodium, is the most important, mineral for the heart. The heart really needs the salt. But not, you know, obviously not the refined salt where, sodium levels are higher. And I love what he says. He said that the wrong white crystal got the bad rap, that really we should be looking at sugar as the culprit to any of the issues that we're having, you know, physically, and inflammation and so on. It isn't, the salt isn't the cause of it. Our high sugar diets are really the culprits. That for me makes so much sense.
Starting to get known out there, but that is definitely true. Yes, because people I demonize salt, but they don't understand that the body needs salt.
Mm-hmm.
The right kind of salt.
Absolutely.
And I imagine Oryx sea salt helps you, like, at night when you get leg cramps and things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, only a couple of months into coming on the market and doing some food shows, there was an endurance athlete, and he had always obviously played a lot of sport at school, soccer and rugby, and I cramp all the time. And I'm like, well, please, you know, take this bag and start using Oryx desert salt. And he said, you know, you used the health salt and what have you. He was sort of aware of salt, but you chose to.
Yeah, exactly. Because I imagine that would help. Because the body needs minerals when it's cramping up like that. And if the salt has the minerals taken out.
Table salt, yeah.
Yeah, then we don't get those minerals, and so I imagine it would help leg cramps a lot.
Absolutely, I also work with a fascinating human being, Sean Sacco Sakonovsky. He's an endurance cyclist, literally he only cycles on water and salt. He's had up to 18 grams of salt in probably about 9 liters of water over 300 kilometers would be close on 200 miles that he cycles in a stretch. And he doesn't believe in carbohydrates. He's a phenomenon. He's a bit of an anomaly. He's so fanatical, and he cycles 3-4 hours every single day, and he only uses water and Oryx desert salt. It's quite fascinating. Next week, actually, I think Thursday, we're going to fill film him riding up the west coast of South Africa for about 200 miles and do a little mini documentary on him.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. Yeah, it's quite curious, actually, in the last few months. So, you know, for the last 11 and a half years since I've been building Oryx, you know, I've been going to all of the food trade shows. And then I was at Summer Fancy Food in New York in June this year. And there was one gentleman that I chatted to, one out of the 30 conversations that I had over the few days. And he was the only person, when I shared about the salt, he was like, yeah, of course it's important. You need it for hydration. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you get it. And he was a performance endurance athlete, and he just understood it because he experiences how important it is for his performance. And then, 3 months later, I ended up at Dave Asprey's biohacking conference. You know, with a lot of also performance endurance people, and it was quite awesome because everyone seemed to understand the importance of salt for their health and their well-being and their hydration and their performance. And I think I had about 160 exciting conversations. It was such a different experience. So suddenly, you know, we've shifted focus a little bit, just reaching out more to sort of functional medicine practitioners and to performance and you know, athletes and so on, and that's so Spartan is another community I'm sure you might be aware of in the US. We're looking to work together. And I'm reaching out to the biohackers and to the keto and the low carb lifestyle. Very interesting.
Yeah, you'll find some fascinating people there. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, so it seems that when, you know, on the, I'm certainly not a specialist on this at all, but on the keto low carb, because one's getting off the refined carbohydrates, where there is a lot of sodium, and you're cutting that out, you know, they ask you to to increase your sodium intake. When you shift over into a keto low-carb lifestyle, I'm just starting to explore this more and understand it more. And so salt really is important. So I'm looking forward to having more of those conversations and increasing my knowledge around it as well.
Wow. Yeah, my mind keeps going back to what you were saying about the writing the emotional words on the containers and how that affects, because as a chiropractor, we're trained that, you know, the physical problems with the body come from three sources. Physical, you do something to yourself. Chemical, you put something in your body. And emotional. And that's very much a part of my thinking. So it's great to hear you talk about that and how the crystalline structure changed.
Which literally changes our physicality, wouldn't it?
And I just find that amazing because, people can get all messed up just from negative thoughts. And so we try to tell people, if you've had some ups and downs emotionally, you're going to be a physical mess. I mean, it just goes nothing
that
way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a real part of my journey that, you know, it's just been constantly aware of my personal growth and the story, you know, that I'm telling myself. And gratitude is very much a part of, you know, what I would call a pillar and one of the reasons why Oryx has grown the way it has is that just, you know, it's been a journey of gratitude, and I find that when I'm in a place of excuse me, that it's that's my happy place. You know, that feels like that's almost my church. I feel connected, and my heart is open when I'm in a space of gratitude for all the gifts in my life. And if I'm not in a place of gratitude, then there's an element or a level of suffering, actually. So, you know, when I'm not in a good place, I check my gratitude levels if I'm low and I need to increase them.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, so before we go any further, I want you to tell people how to reach you.
Okay, thank you. So Oryx Desert Salt, Oryx is spelled O-R-Y-X. In America, most people pronounce it Oryx, but yeah. I'm going to ask for the South African version, the Oryx Desert, and desert is spelled with one S, not two, so dessert is with two S's. You always want more of dessert. And salt, so oryxdesertsalt.com. Of course, it's in all of the Whole Foods, so across the USA. We actually, sorry that we've just missed, but there was a promotion on in November. One friend just returned and said she couldn't find it in a few stores. If you could maybe just check in on the aisle attendant or the grocery manager, but it should be on shelf. So the other interesting thing is our grinders, we've chosen to put a grinder head that has a ceramic mechanism. So our grinders are refillable, reusable, and long-lasting, and we say refillable up to, you know, 20 times and more. And so we offer a refill box as well. So please only buy your Oryx Desert Salt grinder once, and please don't throw it away. Please just buy your refills and just keep refilling. So one, it's going to save you money, the refill box. So in Whole Foods, the grinder is $6.95. The refill box is also $6.95, but the refill box is 2.5 times refill. So then it's only, you know, it's only costing you $2.50 to refill it. And most, I would say 99% of all other grinders on shelf are a plastic polycarb grinder head, a lot of which grind plastic into your food. You'll find in the very beginning your granules are quite fine, and then after a while they're quite coarse. And that's because the teeth have literally worn away into your food and you've eaten it. And plastic is an endocrine disruptor. So, and then you throw them away and go and buy another one and grind more plastic into your food. So please don't do that. And then we have a beautiful pepper, which is from Madagascar. So we support small-scale farmers in Madagascar, and also the refill. And then we have a beautiful smoked salt, which is cold smoked over French oak shavings for 18 hours in a very authentic little wooden smokehouse. So there's no colorants or flavorants. And then we have a barbecue salt, which is also absolutely delicious. It's a put on anything. Roast your butternuts. My son puts it on his popcorn. You can put it on any meat and vegetable dish. You can put it on your eggs. It really is a wonderful recipe and blend of different spices and Oryx smoked salt as well. And so they're all available at Whole Foods. We also have a web shop, oryxdesertsalt.com, and there's a USA flag. And you can buy 6 units for wholesale on the web shop. And then if you're not able to get to Whole Foods, if you search Oryx Desert Salt on Amazon, you'll be able to purchase from there as well. Hopefully accessible to everybody. So last year we saved 500,000 grinders and heads from landfill because of offering the refillable grinder head. So our hashtag is refill, not landfill. So please remember that.
That's great. So I wanted to just interrupt here and say, if anyone is listening to this show, not through the website, but just listening through your own link, which you got from my posting, I want you to call in if you have a question. The number to call in is 424-243-9540. That's 424-243-9540. Once you call in that number, press 1, and that will show up as a question mark beside your phone number, so we can call on you to answer any questions. Come looking at the studio here. So if anyone has a question, I want them to do that. But I want to get back to talking to Samantha here. Samantha, how long have you been involved in this RX Desert Song?
So I started it 12 years ago when I returned from overseas with my 3-year-old son. And I lived in this very little wooden Wendy house on a permaculture farm and started packing grinders on my table. And then I found a company to start packing. And so I, in my sort of 2 or 3 hours in the morning when my son was at a play school, I would get on the road and go sell it to speciality stores and gourmet stores and gift shops and farm stores and so on, and to restaurants. So we are probably on 60 to 70% of restaurant tables across South Africa. Mm-hmm. And in our all of our major retailers and a lot of our gift shops as well. So that was 12 years ago that I started, and now we have 22 staff. We have a big, I wouldn't know the size, it's a 750 square meter warehouse, and we've got 15 packers that pack the salt. So as our sales grow, we bring on more people We have a large disadvantaged community around many places in South Africa, and so we're really making a difference in some people's lives in this area, as well as we give back a donation to the Kalahari San and Mia communities up in the Kalahari. So the first people, some of the original Bushmen communities, we now. Through a foundation, we give a donation to support in education and to support various other needs in the community. So the salt's making a difference. My hashtags are taste the difference, feel the difference, and make a difference.
Very nice. Very nice. You got involved with this song, you realized how great it was and you wanted to stay involved.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've become deeply passionate about making it accessible to, to everyone in South Africa, firstly, because it feels like it's a gift from South Africa and needs to be given back to South Africans first and foremost. And then we started exporting to various countries, and then we got the beautiful opportunity to list at Whole Foods last year. So we haven't found a distributor for restaurants in the USA. So if any one of the listeners has a connection or an opportunity for us to supply into HoReCa and so on, then please reach out to me. We would love to make a difference and have it on tables too in the USA. And in fact, we lost 70% of sales during COVID. Then I had the sort of, I had the time and the space to really assess the business and figure out what was going to, keep us alive. And so I started reaching out to the Whole Foods buyer whose address I fortunately had. and he responded a couple of months later. But what I also realized is that we were losing sales in our specialty gourmet stores because we're in all of our retailers. So now after 12 years, Oryx Desert Salt isn't really special anymore. It's become a household brand in South Africa. And so a few months ago, I had a beautiful inspiration of creating. So we've got two different size grinders, a large one, the normal one that most people will know that's on shelf, and then a smaller sort of half-size one. So I created a new gifting range with the smaller bottles. And we have a traditional fabric in South Africa called shweshwe, and it is vibrantly bright and beautiful and sort of concentric circles and dots and really, really gorgeous. And so I've had a designer create our own special different designs and colors, and we've now got this beautiful gifting range, which, you know, we offer corporates in South Africa. We recently supplied one bank with 3,500 units. So it's really a beautiful lifestyle gift. In fact, salt is probably one of the only products that it's in the Bible 49 times. It's in every religion. It's in every culture. And it's traditionally being given to anyone who moves homes. You give them salt and bread when somebody moves into a new home, because it's the gift of, may you always have salt, you know, may you be abundant in salt, and may you always have bread for your table to share. So that's a really beautiful tradition. And this range isn't currently available in the USA, but we will ship to anyone. We would need some volume, but on larger orders, we will ship.
Very interesting. Okay. So you've spent some time out there in the desert where they harvest this salt.
Yes. It's a very, very, very beautiful place. So the first time I went up, it really felt like an awesome experience because I flew into Upington, which is the closest town, 175 miles away, and then a group of us sort of drove in a van, about 10 of us together. And a 2.5 hour drive in the desert, you know, we chatted in the beginning and we ate some snacks, and then we all kind of, you know, got quiet and had a little bit of a, you know, how the car lulls you to sleep on a road trip. And then the landscape sort of started changing a little bit, and then we went off the main road onto the 7 mile road on the private farm, and so we all sort of, you know, perked up a little bit and started chatting again and what have you, and then we came over this sort of rise, and in front of us was this, you know, from left to right, so a full 180 degree view was this exquisitely pristine white salt pan, and there was suddenly just silence in the van, and it was almost like this ode, this moment of respect, like silence for the salt pan. It was quite exquisite. A moment I will always remember.
Wow, that's neat. That's wonderful. Okay, so do you sell in many other retail stores besides Whole Foods in the United States?
We're slowly rolling out into smaller independent stores, but there are many, many of the larger chain. Well, actually, all I think the larger chains require free fill on the first order, which is vastly expensive and costly for us. We're also having to manage currently an 18-to-1 exchange rate. So just to give you an idea, $100 to you is more equivalent to $1,000 to us. So having to supply free stock to the retailers we need to fund. And we're still small, and until we can get ourselves up in Whole Foods, you know, that can help support and fund the rollout. We're in about, I think, 150, maybe 100 to 150 smaller stores across the country, but I don't know where they are.
Okay.
Hence, we launched our web shop in August so that we can supply people who aren't close to a Whole Foods.
Right, right. So, besides the United States, where are some of the main areas that you work with?
So we supply Namibia, which is great.
Microphone. You were saying Libya?
Sorry, say it again. Namibia. It's a microphone. Hang on a second. Yeah. I'm not sure what's happening. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now beautifully.
Okay, great. So Namibia, we supply Nigeria, Qatar. We've recently launched in Kuwait and Bahrain. We supply Saudi Arabia. We've got a wonderful distributor in Taiwan. In Czechoslovakia, Germany, in Switzerland, and United Kingdom.
Pretty neat. Okay.
Yeah. And still many to go.
That's really neat. Huh. There's an endless supply of this stuff.
There's an endless supply. The three underground rivers are constantly flowing and replenishing the underground salt lake. Yeah, it's quite awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Wow. I'm just, trying to think it. And South Africa is the only place that has this. I mean, it's not like found in other places in Africa or any other continent.
I think there's only one country in the world, it's Belgium. It's a very small landlocked country that doesn't have its own salt. But there are salts from all over the world. Predominantly they are sea salts, they're sea salts. But there are underground, so rock salt is an underground solidified lake. That is then mined. I think they pour vast amounts of water in and dissolve it and then draw it up. I don't know the process very well. So this is just this unique, very unique, combination of nature, of water and underground rivers, and this region that is very dense in salt, and then the beautiful temperatures. So just the alchemy and the combination of that has just created this magical desert salt with all of the minerals that it's in a perfect balance by nature, by millions of years of year-old rock strata.
Pretty neat.
Have you done the taste test, Doran?
No.
I haven't.
But I'll have to work out going to Whole Foods sometime and checking it out.
I will send you some, absolutely. I really apologize. I'm sorry that I haven't already. It's been a really crazy year.
You're doing enough stuff now. The holiday season. I mean, come on, no one's doing anything.
It is, it's just kind of coming towards the end. I'm feeling very blessed. I've decided to take a six-week sabbatical this year. It feels like the first real holiday in 12 years. And I'm going to India for 6 weeks. I'm going on a 28-day Ayurvedic Panchakarma retreat and detox.
Oh, that's
so.
Neat.
Oh, it's going to be just simply incredible for, you know, a full month. I'm not going to have to make a single decision. I'm not going to have to plan anything. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to drive anywhere. I won't have any appointments. All I got to do is show up every morning, eat breakfast, and then go to a treatment that I've been, you know, go there, and just be instructed and have this deep reset. Is what I know that I need. Yeah, my batteries need a full charge. They're very very running on low at the moment.
I see. Wow.
Will you,
Yeah, I think 12 years. You deserve a vacation.
Yeah, thank you. I think we all need a vacation, actually. I mean, I think when COVID hit, a few weeks before COVID hit, I had said to a couple of friends, you know, cause it was the February, you know, I'd had the normal sort of 3-week holiday, which was busy, and I was like, oh, I wish we could just put the whole world on pause and just take a break. And then 6 weeks later, it was like, okay, right, everybody, go home, put down your tools, have a break. And I was very blessed to have been living on a sort of a small holding with two other families. So we had a little tribe of kids and some beautiful thoroughbred horses and swimming pools and so on. So we had a lot of space and lawn and beautiful nature around us. I mean, in fact, where I live on a peninsula at the very tip of Africa, and I'm just surrounded by ocean and surrounded by mountains. It's quite exceptional.
Nice.
So we had really clean air and space in, you know, on our property to move. So I had a beautiful break then, but then, you know, when things got back to normal, gosh, it seems to have somebody turned up the speed dial. It got very, very full and intense.
Uh-huh. Wow. Wow. So do you have any experience selling it personally to other human beings?
Gosh, I have done so many taste tests. I started selling it on sort of markets in South Africa as well. And the amount of, literally I do the taste test because there is the significant experience in how different it tastes and how full and gentle it is. I would almost end up with like a sore wrist at the end of 2 or 3 or 4 days of being at a food show or a wine show or so on. And then sort of fold it, you know, grinder by grinder. And then discovered a trade show where I could sell to a shop and I could sell 12 of each unit. And then I went three years into starting Oryx. I went to some international shows and then started selling pallets. And that was really exciting. So it's been a wonderful journey. I mean, my journey growing Oryx has been a journey in growing myself. You know, they're so intrinsically connected. As I grow, Oryx grows. As Oryx grows, I need to grow. And it's been beautiful to watch how, you know, I've grown personally in growing the business and taking it from just myself to 22 people. And I think the one particular aspect which I'm really loving is networking. In fact, we've got a very exciting thing happening in Cape Town where Delta Airlines has just launched their first flight to South Africa. So there are now direct flights from the USA to Cape Town. So I was at the launch event last night, a cocktail party.
Wow.
And some beautiful musicians and various people speaking and so on. And So, yeah, I'm wanting Delta to put our little salt and pepper sachets in their cutlery packs on board. And we also have really small, cute little cardboard shakers to go into premium business class as well. Excuse me. So I was there networking, and it's just been, you know, 12 years ago, I was really shy and very nervous around speaking to people. And now I'll just go up to anybody and everybody. In fact, I didn't know anyone at the launch for about 150 people. So I just went up to every table and just introduced myself and, you know, discovered why and how they were there. And then one gentleman, his name was Sam as well. I mean, must have been the 10th or the 12th person that I spoke to, who then pointed out somebody who was quite strategic, the director of sales in Africa. So in the right moment, I went and introduced myself to him. And so he's going to be putting me in touch with somebody in the head office in Atlanta. So that's been really fun, is kind of knowing what it is that I want, you know, really wanting to create a global brand and make RX Desert Salt accessible to people all over the world. And I guess the hardest part is creating awareness, you know, so I really appreciate Zoran, you know, having me on your show and being able to share the story with your listeners. It's quite tough because, you know, I mean, you are 10 hours behind. So, you know, in fact, you guys changed your clocks recently, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
So I woke up at 3:30 this morning to be ready for 4:00. Then it was like, no, your interview only starts in an hour. I'm like, all right, okay. Anyway, so I got on to just catching up on some emails from the people that I met at the show at the cocktail party last night. But, you know, it is quite tough working so many hours behind and being able to meet people to share the story and to get the story out about what makes it different and the values of it and why it's unique. And so my new sort of role is PR, now PR marketing, as well as sales. I think everyone knows who's got their own businesses, and even in different roles, we play different roles, and I wear many hats, which is all part of the learning, which has been fabulous.
Oh yeah. Well, that's good stuff.
I mean, are you still practicing as a chiropractor?
Oh, yeah. My husband and I practice chiropractic, yeah. Yeah.
And you have a radio show, so.
Well, a couple of nights a month, I just keep people out of the office. So we see people, you know, throughout the day, whatever time they want. And, you know, so my husband and I found what worked for us. And like you, we want to get everyone familiar with it and, you know, help as many people as we can.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah. I went for my chiropractic session.
You what?
I think on Monday.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I went for a chiropractic session on Monday. I just felt like I was needing an alignment and I had a fabulous session. Yeah, I just straightened up again, you know, when we get a bit squiff and skew. we need some straightening out.
You gotta align your brain, Get things to the right place.
Actually. let the energy flow. Feels really important to do that. Yeah, I mean, in fact, I mean, I think all of us, you know, life's busy for each and every one of us, and we have our unique challenges. I think the journey really is about taking care of ourselves and learning how to support ourselves and whatever we're doing. Having a massage is also very key. And it sort of comes in and out of my life stages. I trained as a kahuna and masseur before I started Oryx, and I've got a kahuna, Lomi, it's a Hawaiian massage technique, friend, and she's absolutely incredible. And it is just such a delightful hour and a half to just time out and have somebody's hands all over your body just giving you attention. It's wonderful.
Yes. We like, you know, human contact, something we all crave.
Definitely. Oh, so much so. I think we're quite sensually deprived, actually, as a, animals will just easily go curl up and cuddle up with one another, whereas we've somehow learned to separate ourselves, and yet touch is such an integral part of who we are and essential to our well-being, absolutely. Yeah.
That's very true. Very true. Okay, so you just told us about half an hour ago, but why don't you tell us again how to get in touch with you?
Super. So Oryx Desert Salt, OryxDesertSalt .com. And if you go to the web shop, you can get a 10% discount if you put the code DORRIN10. DORRIN10, and you will receive a 10% discount on the already wholesale web shop.
Thank you.
As a thank you to you, and a thank you to your listeners for taking the time. That's a great way to, and if you buy 6 grinders, you can share them with your family and your daughters, sisters, brothers, aunts, and best friends, and switch them onto a very essential, important, salt. So it's a lifestyle gift. You'll be doing them a service by gifting.
Yeah.
And, of course, Christmas is coming, so it's a great stocking filler.
Great holiday gift. Yeah.
Beautiful holiday gift indeed. Yes. Very much so.
Gives us some ideas here. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What do you have planned for the holidays, Doran?
What do I have planned? Relax. Relax a little. And I'm, I've been kind of toying with the idea of writing a kind of book and kind of true life story and, where I've been, where I am and all that. It's just a matter of sitting down and doing it. So we all have time.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations. That will be very exciting to get that started. And a beautiful journey. I also feel like I have a book in me at some stage to sit down and share my journey and share the story, definitely.
Yeah.
I think
we've all been through our own whatever.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We've all got our story, and they're all unique and amazing, for sure. Yeah.
And it's just a matter of sitting down and finding better things to do.
A bit of procrastination there, I'm sure. Masters of procrastination.
Something like that. Okay. Well, we can pretty much close up. Do you have any final words you want to say?
Salt is the smallest ingredient in any meal, but it really does make the biggest difference to your meal, and it makes the biggest difference to your health. So choose wisely. If you pop onto our website, under the contacts. My email address is there. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out or drop me a WhatsApp. My mobile number is on there as well. If you have any questions. Otherwise, I would love your feedback. I'd love you to do the taste test. Please try Oryx and then have a just literally grind raw salt onto your hand and have a taste, and then grind sea salt or whatever else you have in the kitchen. And I would really love to hear your experience of the difference.
Yeah.
And then after some time that you've been using it, how are you experiencing the difference?
That sounds fascinating, yeah. I'm all excited.
Looking forward to hear.
Okay.
Amazing, Doran.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, Samantha.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share. It really does mean a lot. Much appreciated.
Yeah, I'll send you the tape of this show. So you can have it and use it and send it along. Take parts of it and do your thing with it, okay?
Oh, sweetheart, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you
very much. And I wish you well, and I'll definitely be in touch with you when I'm back from India. And I'll be sending you salt. Yeah, thank you. I'll share with you my experience when I get back.
Yes, do that, Samantha. Okay.
Awesome, Doran. Bless
good
you. Take
good
care.
Good morning.
And enjoy
your day.
Yeah, exactly. And good night to you. Enjoy your sleep.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm in your tomorrow already.
Yes, you're my tomorrow. Okay. Well, thank you. It was lovely talking with you.
Take care. Likewise.
Good night.
Bye-bye, everyone.